A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Eat my dust, slime ball!
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today, we are joined by a very special friend and a very special guest, Adam Cannavale.
That's Whoa! Me! And today on Thumb Cramps, we're talking about Skyrim challenge runs and other games.
Oh my God. So Adam, no pressure. Jackson has spoken about a challenge run on this before, and everyone said it was a bad episode and that we hate Jackson. So that's the bar to clear.
Dear Thumb Cramps, please don't just remove Jackson from your podcast. Kill him.
Yeah.
Have him lined up behind the building and shot.
Yeah.
Take him to the vet, get him put down like a dog if they will allow it. People are angry.
That's fair enough. Not like being a chicken in this game. You make me sick. Bring back the guillotine just for this one man.
I'm quite the opposite, actually. I think people won't stop talking. I assume people won't stop talking about having me elevated to the position of king for having reviewed this on this show.
I think so. I assume. Kill Queen Elizabeth. Take Queen Elizabeth to the pound and have her put down. Put Adam in charge, how about?
Wow, that would be a crazy twist in the book, like the history books, being like, oh, the longest serving queen got taken to the vet and put down like a dog.
Imagine that headline. You open up the England Times or whatever.
Imagine 100 years from now reading like the recorded history of the English kings and queens and just having that moment of, what? And then they pushed her out of the tower.
How do you think you'd write a headline that basically said, Queen put down like dog? What would that look like?
Queen put down like dog, comma, as she deserves. That's it. Cut,
the
print,
British people are into it, yeah.
Yeah. Queen Elizabeth II dead, and you won't believe how.
Queen Elizabeth dead, full stop. Good, full stop. So anyway, I've been
regicide aside. What have you been doing?
On my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/retroarchetype, I have been doing a Skyrim challenge run where I have zero weight, so I can't have anything with any weight to it, and also I'm doing permadeath. Which is terrifying.
But it's wow.
It's not just permadeath for me. It's also permadeath for my companions. So because I'm so weak because of my zero weight, I've been kind of surrounding myself with a buffer of companions.
That's so funny.
And it's been very funny because every now and then, I don't know, Jack, how often this happens to you. But if someone who has like a high factional reputation with you, or if someone who like the numbers say that they liked you, if they die, they bequeath you some money and a courier will just run up and be like, I've got a letter from you, from the Jarl, and a bit of money. It's just very, it's very funny. Like, we had an encounter the other day where I was walking through town. I was like, wait a minute. I've not seen one of my companions in a little while. And then immediately the courier came up to me and they had died in a dungeon somewhere and I'd not even noticed.
Rest in peace.
Nobody's ever delivered me money like that, but I did have a moment the other day where I was trying to complete the Dawn Guard questline.
Yeah.
And it was like, right, you've got to all gather here before we go and attack the castle. And I was waiting and I was like, why is it not kicking off? And then someone was like, Jackson, where's Serena, the vampire companion you get for the quest? And I'm like, oh no, I turned her into a fish in a cave. She was a fish in a pond in a cave miles away.
Oh,
and I had to summon her and then really quickly turn her back into a vampire so she didn't drown on land. So I've had similar experiences.
Yeah, that's very similar.
I don't think Serena can be killed, though. I think it's part of the...
I don't want to risk what will happen if Serena as a fish drowns on dry land.
So, Adam, the permadeath, is that a mod? Or are you just...
No, it's just if I ever should die, I've promised that I will delete the entire save file. Yeah, the game. No, the entire save file, and we'll start again.
Very similar to how I am playing Pokemon Fire Red on twitch.tv/doucheforever.
Yeah.
I've been streaming the game for 55 hours at this point. And I've lost 100 Pokemon permanently.
Wow.
And I'm about to take...
every 2 hours. Hey!
That's the swearing dog.
If Adam gets one, I get one.
No!
Do you want me to say that again?
No. We bleep it. It's fine.
I'd like you to swear again, because then I get another one.
That is not the rules.
Jack, you've gone very red.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know why that's happened. Embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Because you said a bad word. No, we bleep the swearing now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you should do it.
I know. I was going to... anyway, go on.
But yeah, I'm about to take on Brock, so I'm pretty excited to make some progress.
You are not far to that game at all.
Wow,
that's so funny.
First person.
Yeah.
How? What?
Well,
how are you 100 Pokemon down?
Well, because that's 100 Pokemon over, I think this is my 9th attempt.
Yeah. Wow.
But the furthest I got was a 15-hour run where I had 3 badges.
My God.
I remember when I was a kid, back before I really properly... You know that beautiful age, halcyon days, where you don't really understand how a game... You can't really properly conceive of how the game is supposed to work.
For sure,
I remember
yeah.
playing Pokemon, and I had a Krabby, and I bloody hated that Krabby. And I remember on purpose letting it faint and then keeping going because I wanted it to die.
That's great.
I let it faint and I was like, isn't it dead? Why is it still here? And I was like, if I keep going, maybe it'll die.
That rules.
Yeah, that's good. So that's pretty similar to what happened with me, except mine was a drowsy. Because one thing that when I'm playing Pokemon, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but... because obviously Twitch streamers often have donation goals, but rather than a donation goal that will help me, because that's, like, I don't want people's money and then also to get further in the game.
To benefit from it,
You need to get something out of it, and what better thing to get out of it than my personal suffering, and also knowing that every single person in chat's frustration is going up because you've given me money. Let you just kill a Pokemon in my party without... No questions asked. It's legalized poaching on Twitch.
That's good.
But someone said, if you don't catch this Pokemon, which was a drowsy, I'm going to donate $20 and kill your best Pokemon. And I was like, that's not fair, but fine. And then I immediately killed that drowsy in battle. And it felt good.
Yeah,
and I was punished accordingly.
That's really good. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
So with the zero weight, Adam... Can you give your companions stuff to carry?
I can, but I've actually been finding that I don't really need to. So in the game, there's so let me explain. So in the game, completing main quests very rarely actually requires you to pick something up. So there is I think it's the Dawn Guard DLC. I know there's literally one time where having zero weight actually prevents you from doing something. And that's, like, you got to help someone. And you can actually use a speech check. Sorry, I forgot. You can use a speech check to bypass that. But very, very rarely do you need to pick up something with weight. And when you do need to pick up an item, if it's part of a quest, the item has no weight so long as it is part of... So it'll be... And this is actually something I've used to exploit the system, if you will. So I have several swords, but the way it works is because I'll go to a villager and they'll be like, can you find my ancestral sword? And I say yes, and then I go and I get the sword, and in between picking up the sword and giving it back to them, it's still a quest. So it's a quest item, so it has no weight.
You're just robbing people.
So
I'm running around with like Balgruuf's sword and Sigismund's shield. I'm putting together an entirely other people's equipment build, and it is a lot of fun.
That's so funny.
The game even lets you improve those weapons and armor, which that's so funny.
That's so great.
Sir, I haven't played Skyrim enough to be, I guess, across what items are, like, way stuff in your inventory. Yeah. Is it mostly just, like, obviously you found a loophole with quest items, but is it most, like, does, like, gold and stuff like that have weight in your...
The only things that really don't have weight are some letters or some pieces of book or whatever will not have weight. Gold doesn't have weight. Arrows don't have weight. So the entirety of Skyrim for me is just running from corpse to corpse, picking up any hoovering up all the golden arrows and then moving on. That's very funny as well, because people in my chat keep pointing out, they watch when it happens to me. Because when I'm playing Skyrim normally, I'll walk along and there's a whole potion mechanic thing where you gather resources and you make potions.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking, I will also just be hoovering up like flowers and mushrooms and stuff like that. But all of that stuff has its tiny amounts of weight, but even 0.1 is weight.
It counts, yeah.
So people will be like, ah, I saw you do it again as I'm running along, and then I'll veer off towards some flowers. And before I pick them up, I realize I'm about to pick them up and then turn back to the farm. And I do it all the time.
That's so funny,
yeah.
So if you pick up any items, are you just going to restart? Are you going to be like, that's killed me?
Well, at first, that's what I was doing. I was like, I'm just not going to pick anything up. And if I pick something up, that's, you know,
that's game
not
over,
necessarily
yeah.
game over. But yeah, it's verboten, at least.
Yeah.
But I realized it's much funnier to, through console commands, cheat the game so that my carry capacity is actually zero. So my carry capacity
that's great.
In the game is zero. And now I'm just like, all right, I can pick up whatever I want to pick up. But the second I pick up something, I become over encumbered. So many times I've been in a fight and because I revert back to that old Skyrim mentality in a fight, I'll start looting a corpse before the fight's done. But that has a couple of times now, I've looted a corpse and been like, oh no!
Shouldn't have picked up that sword! I'm so heavy!
Goddamn heavy!
It's funny in Skyrim because I don't loot corpses because it's of no use to me if I do. I can have a million swords. I'm still just a chicken.
Yeah.
And also it's funny, Adam, you know, you're like, you get quest items or whatever. So I've done a similar thing, but with one of my companions, who is now a horse. But initially she was part of the companions quest line and she was like, hey, now that you're a werewolf, let's go into this cave and defeat some guys. And I was like, what if we just, like, I've become a werewolf. I don't need to complete this quest anymore. So she's constantly being like, when are we going to get back to that cave, Jackson? Shouldn't we take down the Silver Hand? And I'm like, you're a horse. Well, she doesn't say that anymore. She doesn't talk now that she's a horse. But
can you ride her?
No. Well, I probably could as a person, but a chicken can't ride a horse. Tragically, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, though.
The moment anyone gave me access to console commands was really a big problem for me. My Skyrim is horrifically unstable these days. Wolves are just floating heads. I don't know how I made that happen, but I'll just get chased by these floating heads, and I'll be like, who are these? And then it'll come up wolf, and I'll be like, oh, okay.
So not a wolf's head, just a floating
head. Floating human head, yeah. A floating human head is what a wolf looks like for me.
That's so upsetting.
And I don't know why that happened. I don't remember doing that. And hawkers, the walruses, are also just nude guys who just come up and stand at me. And I'm like, What can I do for you?
That's very just, upsetting.
Yeah, the game's breaking.
Yeah, well, another upsetting thing that Jackson found out was he wanted to turn his character and companions into children.
Oh, yeah.
But it turns out that the children command, well, in the...
They make them nude or just in underwear, so it's no good.
And then... upsetting. And then but also an adult face, which makes it real bad.
Yeah, that that feels like an immediate strike on Twitch.
Yeah, every time it happens, I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no! I need to get some kids clothed that I could tool around as a child. But I have discovered using console commands, it's a great way to defeat dragons. Because if I turn a dragon into a horse in the sky, it falls out of the sky and breaks its legs and dies. And so I'm very excited to use that on Parthenox and see what it does to the game. We will find out.
I just recently installed a mod that... So I am so terrified in every fight because I have to rely mostly on magic. Because obviously, like I do have some weapons, but they're really backups for me.
Yeah.
I have to rely so much on magic. So what'll happen in every fight, there's a point where I start getting low on magicka and I start almost half crying. Because with magicka, I at least stand a chance. But because I'm so lightly armored, if anyone gets up in my face, that could just be it. I could be dead.
That could be it forever. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And that's obviously very stressful. So there's so many times where I've tried to cheese a fight because of that. But I am so terrified as well because I just recently installed a mod that makes dragons more deadly and also adds different types of dragons.
Yeah.
And I know there is a type of dragon. So it adds different breath weapons for dragons. And I know one of the ones that it adds is a fury breath weapon. So everyone that it breathes on becomes fury and attacks anyone.
Your companion buffer.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to breathe. And all of my companions huddled around me, the shield wall of flesh is going to turn around and kill me.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my God. Wow.
That's terrifying.
And so if you die, you're just going to go straight back to the start? Is that the kind of plan?
Yeah, I'll make a new character. I'm going to delete the entire save file. Make a new character. Yeah. Start again.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That is so good.
I want to finish the main story, Dawnguard and Dragonborn.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you think your chances are of getting that done?
Yeah.
Well, I think... So there's also a mod. There's also a DLC that adds house building. And honestly... Yeah. I would rather do all three of them than zero weight making the house. Because you need to collect so many supplies.
Yeah, that's good.
It would be so over-encumbered. When I was considering all of the different DLCs, I was like, this seems almost easy by comparison. Yeah.
I'm very excited to start the house one because I'm excited to get married as a chicken and adopt a child. I think that's going to be good. My wedding's going to be cooked.
Getting married is a very important speedrun strat in Skyrim because there's a weird thing that happens if you miss your wedding that allows you to read an Elder Scroll or something. Huh. I don't know.
What I'm excited about is because when you have a wedding in Skyrim, all of the people that you've met along the way appear in your wedding. But I've turned a lot of people into horses and dogs. So I'm excited to be a chicken standing in front of a beautiful woman and look out into the crowd of horses and dogs and floating heads and be like, oh, my friends came to wish me well.
This is a beautiful ceremony.
It's going to be good. What are we doing, Adam, not playing Skyrim together, which is a mod that allows you to play Skyrim co-op, where I'm a chicken and you're a nude man with other people's swords? Both of no help to each other. That sounds incredible.
Well, I think the problem here will be, Jackson, at some point you'll accidentally turn Adam into a horse because you'll panic and think that he's a guy coming to kill you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll turn me into a horse, you'll crash the game several times. Another guaranteed thing to happen. You're going to be over-encumbered immediately because I'm sure the player code or something like that when I type it in to set my weight to zero, that's going to
affect you. We'll do it for me as well. I'll be the world's slowest chicken, and then I'll use console commands, which I've been doing recently, to make my speed far too quick and crash the game, so I'll be zooming around as a very fast. It'll be absolute chaos, and if we can beat one dungeon like that, I'll be impressed.
You know what's actually? You know what would be a great idea? A very fun one. There is a mod that what it does is, I think the mod's called You Are Not the Dragonborn. And
yeah.
What it does is, rather than you being the main character, it spawns a main character. It spawns a dragonborn who goes around and does all of the main quest.
Oh, that's amazing.
Line. Yeah. And you can find them and follow them,
yeah,
which is very funny. And we should get that mod and then follow the main character.
Be his terrible, yeah, terrible companions. Yeah. That sounds incredible. God, it would be so useful for me, actually, if we played Skyrim together. Because you can shout, yeah?
Yeah, I could shout.
Oh my God, you'd solve so many problems. Being able to drag and render dragon down onto the ground instead of turning it into a horse, I'd kill for that. Damn. I can solve no problems for you, but I can become a mammoth, so maybe.
Yeah, that's big.
Maybe
yeah,
that'll help.
Well, yeah, maybe turning everyone into horses would be very helpful for me. I'm sure.
Because they're not going to attack you if they're a horse. Well, they do sometimes. They do sometimes.
Oh, man. Horses are so bold in Skyrim. It's so yeah, funny to watch them fight dragons.
Incredible.
Adam, how many thumbs for a challenge run of Skyrim where you have you're doing a zero weight run permadeath?
Yeah, I would say 2 thumbs firmly erect.
Oh,
2 firmly erect thumbs.
Yeah, it's exciting. Which,
whoa. That's good. That's
a bit of a horny thumb.
Yes. Erotic thumbs. Yeah, yeah.
Which we know equals 5 thumbs, which is
yeah,
a perfect
exactly
score.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I forgot it's out of 5.
No. It's fine. You didn't.
No, you didn't at all.
Yeah, there we go.
So Jackson, what have you been playing?
Well, I was perusing the old Steam store the other day.
Sorting and by horror, indie, yeah, under $10, can beat in one playthrough and never think about again.
Absolutely.
Keeps and yeah, a game that interest never doesn't stop engaging me. I need to be engaged. I probably yeah have undiagnosed something.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, yeah. That's, those were the tags I put yeah in for the search. Well, I mean, you're pretty on the money, Dusha. It is an indie horror game under like an hour that you can beat very quickly that does keep you engaged. But
yeah,
so it's a game called Poppy's Playhouse Chapter 1. It was like $6. So I'm
Googling this.
Yeah, well, okay, so obviously it's like a bit more polished and a bit more, I don't know, professionally made is the right word, than most of the horror indies that I play. So it's set in an abandoned toy store, or toy factory, sorry,
yeah,
and you are a former employee who is returning to the toy factory after receiving a mysterious note that's like, the workers are still inside, go figure out what's going on. And so you go in, and it's sort of like a horror puzzle game, I guess. And
yeah,
the puzzles are you get a grab backpack, I think it's called, where you have basically a big blue hand that you can shoot out and grab things like on a rope, and a big red hand. And the puzzles involve like moving stuff with that, or it's kind of like electric, so you can like plug it into a blue socket and then you got to figure out how to plug it into the red socket to turn things on. And in the first chapter, the enemy you're chased by is a big blue monster called Huggy Wuggy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's quite a frightening sequence where you're running through like, not vents, but like a conveyor belt that's going through all of these tunnels or whatever with yeah it chasing after you, and kind of part of the what makes it scary is that you've got to be pretty quick to know when the tunnel's going to be a dead end and when you need to turn so that you don't get cornered or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's pretty quick. Like, it's a short game. I didn't know that starting out. I was like, oh, this looks good. And then I was like, oh, that's that. It's over. But it at least has kind of like some interesting mechanics compared
Jackson
to some other horror games. Yeah,
winding it back a little bit.
Sure.
When you saw it was $6
yeah
and it said chapter one, how long were you expecting the game to be?
I ignored chapter one. That part okay didn't register for some reason.
Not a shock.
$6. Some indie games are quite long for $6. That's just the bloody cookie crumble. No. Adam
I'm
gets one. That means
no. Adam doesn't get one.
Use it, Adam. You got a freebie.
Adam, you don't get a freebie. That's not the rules. Jackson means that next time a guest says it, you already used yours.
Oh, so that yeah is the rules.
Yeah, don't encourage him, dude.
So part of the reason that I got this game that I was like, oh, this looks fun, is it reminded yeah me of years and years and years ago mm-hmm when Joel Zammit was house sitting. And he was house sitting for a friend of his that had 2 kids. And one night, me and Adam stayed over. And we slept in the two kids' beds and lived out the fantasy of being 10-year-old brothers or whatever.
This. I have no memory of this.
And I remember that night, and it only came back to me when I saw like the screenshots of this game. We talked about how great a Willy Wonka survival horror would be.
Yes, I remember this.
We were like, man, that would be such a fun game, like set in an abandoned chocolate factory where, you know, you're making your way through the various levels of Willy Wonka's factory or whatever. And this game had a kind of similar sort of aesthetic in that it was like, oh, it's like a toy factory, but it's been long abandoned and you're going through all of the different sort of like areas and it's like, oh, here's the testing facility. Here's the that.
I am watching a Let's Play of it right now and it feels like, look, the name is not Jackson Bailey, but it feels heaps like this is your playthrough of it because, gosh, I have been watching this person struggle since you started talking about this. I have been watching this person struggle with, oh, there they go. Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. It was such a... They needed to click and drag something across and they couldn't figure it out. And it was so frustrating to watch.
Look, there was only one bit I got really stuck on, and that's because, as always, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. It was the puzzle, read a thing and do that thing on another thing?
No, the puzzle was you had to plug in your hand on one in one place, and then you had to basically go through the vents to the opposite plug, but you didn't have enough, like, give on the your long arm strings or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I could just go through the middle because I wasn't looking. I just got very frustrated and looked it up. It's hard to describe. Anyway, the game's pretty fun. Look, it's like for $6, whatever. It's a spooky time. You'll enjoy yourself. I really like the aesthetic. I like that it's like, oh, it's an abandoned toy factory. There's something kind of, I don't know, it's at least a little bit unique. It's not just an abandoned mansion or a spooky hotel or the swamp or whatever. It does have the vibe of one of those games that's designed to be like let's played by a million different people on their YouTube channels where they're like, ah, and then it's designed for people to make game theories about. So sort of like, I don't know, part of that turns me off it a little bit. I'm like, it's weird when a game comes out that seems like it's designed. They're like, we need to get that YouTube buzz, baby. It makes me think of that. Those great tweets from the people who made Hello Neighbor. I don't know if you've seen them, where they're like, yeah, this latest chapter in Hello Neighbor is probably going to be good for some game theories. And they tagged, is it Matt Pat? I don't know.
Matt
somebody.
Pat.
Yeah. And they're like, tag Matt Pat. And he did not respond. And then they're like, hope Matt Pat sees this in a separate tweet. And they were like, Matt Pat's going to make some great theories about this game. And obviously, Matt Pat, whoever he is, didn't care.
That's rough. Don't make your game with
that in mind, you know? Mind.
Unless,
but
like,
that's just a theory.
A game.
A good business practice theory.
And so, like, this game has just, like, a little bit of that about it, where it's like, and, like, it's a fine line as well, because obviously you do want your game to have interesting lore or whatever, and you want to have those, like, oh, like, in this you find VHS tapes, which you can play to get a little bit of backstory about the factory and what went wrong or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. And it's weird that that vibe turns me off it a bit, but it definitely does.
That's fair.
The enemy's pretty scary, so, like, you see that he's the enemy throughout the whole game, and when you get into the factory proper, there's, like, a kind of central courtyard where what you think is a giant statue of that monster is standing there holding the keys to get into the next room. And obviously you take the keys off him, go into that room, and then when you return to the courtyard, he's gone. And you're like, oh no, he will get me at some point. So that was kind of a spooky moment. Yeah, look, it's fine. It's cheap. It's spooky enough. Oh. If you want just like I don't know what the word is.
Did you see me watch a scary part of it? Oh, no, he's going to get caught.
Are you watching him go through the vents or the
tunnels
or whatever?
Yeah, I'm watching him go through the vents. That's upsetting.
Yeah, it's a scary part.
Yeah, he's kind of like moving, because he's slightly too big for the vents. He's kind of like hand on each wall. Yeah.
And he kind of bends because he's like a toy or whatever.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
It was good for Jackson, you to be talking about whatever you were talking about. I immediately lost interest when I just saw Adam out of on the other Zoom window going like, oh! It's like, what's that? What's going on in that window?
It's scary. It's spooky.
So that bit was pretty good. Like, I gotta admit, that bit was pretty scary and got my heart racing, which is good. And I think for a horror game to, like, genuinely do that and for it to be frightening the whole time is pretty good. But also, the game's pretty short, and it does have that vibe of, like, you like Five Nights at Freddy's? You like this? Yeah, animals? So, I don't know. I'll probably give it 3.5 thumbs, 3 thumbs and a knuck, probably. Yeah.
So that's using Adam's score. I think that's one erect thumb and one flaccid thumb.
Yeah. One boner thumb, one floppy thumb.
Yeah, one flop, one flopper.
One bone thumb, one fillet of thumb.
But yeah, look, when the next chapter comes out, which is apparently going to be in like mid-2022, I'm sure I'll play it. But also that turns me off it a little bit as well.
I reckon there's a big chance that you will forget that this game exists by mid-2022.
I think there's a big chance I'll forget this game exists by the weekend, man. So yeah, probably three thumbs and a knuck for Poppy's Playhouse.
A game that you may forget in 5 days.
Yeah, well, it was fun while I played it. So,
5 days.
What have you been playing, JD?
Well, so I have mostly been going back and forth between a couple of games I've already spoken about on here. I realized that I wrecked everything last week by talking about Rust briefly within a review of something else because I could have easily spoken about Rust right now, but I'm not gonna because I haven't played it since last week. Instead, I'm gonna go back to Deathloop.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But a quick side note back to another game I've been playing. So there's been a lot of discourse about Metroid Dread being maybe too hard. And the guy who made the first Gears of War, not Gears of War, God of War, was like, actually, it's not hard, it's bad game design. And he claimed that he got stuck in one part, which he was streaming on Twitch. And then after that part, he was like, actually, this game sucks, and then deleted it. And then has made 4 or 5 more YouTube videos about Metroid Dread after deleting it. Including that a 25-minute video where he highlights how it's bad game design.
Nothing makes someone else, feel more like you don't have skin in the game. When you do badly at a game, making a bunch of videos about how it's the game's fault.
That rules so much.
In the last, like, I'm going to say 5 or so years, there seems to be, like, this weird-ass discourse, and I don't know if it's always existed, and it's just gotten way louder now, of, like, anytime someone gets tricked or misled, or or just like something unexpected, surprised, I guess is the other option. People get so angry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's because like people are like, I'm a gamer, no game's too hard for me. And then when they're put like what is a pretty basic puzzle, the part that this David guy was stuck on was there's enemies on a ledge. The ledge takes up the whole room. It's a dead end on the level you're at. And there's a window.
Okay.
Like as part of the background decorative stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a whole, like, so in Metroid, there's a thing where, like, certain blocks you can shoot and they disappear. The blocks that are, like, on the window, basically, you just shoot those and they're gone. And you just jump up and go through the other thing.
Cool.
There is a loading screen that says, if you're stuck, try shooting blocks around you.
That's just a classic Metroid thing. That's what you do, man. Sure. That's how you play Metroid. Yeah.
Metroid Dread has a tutorial at the start, which also includes that.
Can you shoot up through the ledge to get to the enemies above you? Can you shoot normally? No, you can't?
Okay. So if you tried to shoot the enemies, you'd accidentally shoot these blocks, which would then make them disappear.
That's so funny.
So, there's a lot of shines the point to just shoot up, but he was too busy thinking about the time he made Twisted Metal or whatever. He also made that game.
That would occupy a lot of my thoughts if I made Twisted Metal, to be fair.
So people are saying the game's way too hard, and there's been a whole thing of, like, if you get tricked or misled or there's just a surprise, everyone's like, actually, this sucks so much. And, like, everyone turns, like, frustration. Or if a game, like, has a surprising, like, emotional twist, like The Last of Us Part 2, everyone just goes straight to anger rather than being like, oh, this made me feel bad. It's okay. Media can make you feel bad or trick you.
That's all right. Yeah, that's a good thing.
You hate spoilers about movies, but then if a thing does something that's surprising, you're angry. You're an idiot. I hate you people that do this. Anyway, I've been playing Metroid Fusion, and I'm happy to report that Metroid Fusion is 100% harder than Metroid Dread by such a substantial margin.
When did Fusion come out?
2002.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, no, Fusion isn't the one. Sorry, I don't know the Metroid games very well. That's not okay. The one that is 3D, right?
No.
Metroid Fusion is the Game Boy Advance game.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason that it's relevant that this game's way harder than Dread is a direct sequel of Metroid Fusion. The story literally continues on from it. And sure, it's been 18 years since that game came out.
Yeah.
And not
everybody's gone back
to
replay it before Metroid Dread.
But it is so much harder than Metroid Dread. Like, the things you need to shoot are way less obvious. The bosses are way harder. Like, have faced like three bosses in a row now where I'm just like, I know, because it's not like with Dread where it takes a little bit to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And then to be like, okay, so I know what's going on, now I can beat it. With Fusion, it's like, okay, I figured out what's going on pretty quickly.
Mm.
But the coordination and hitbox on this enemy is small and the coordination required is high. It's taking me ages to just do the thing that I know I need to do.
That sounds a bit like the Dark Souls or the From Software kind of design or whatever, where it's like, oh, okay, I can kind of see what I need to do here, but understanding execution is different to understanding, which I think is a kind of a satisfying type of... You never really feel like you never feel like it's the game just... handing you a steaming pile of it. Yeah. You kind of feel like, oh no, I gave the game a steaming pile.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel like Metroid Dread, it seems like, has a kind of far more traditional sort of like boss design where it's like, well, when you figure out how to kill it, like that is the hurdle. You know what I mean?
Making mistakes in Dread is still like quite punishing. Cause again, compared to some other Metroid games, the damage done to you in Dread is very high.
Yeah.
So make a mistake and all of a sudden you can only make three more mistakes in this fight and it's game over. Fusion, however, and I guess spoilers for a game that came out 18 years ago, 19 years ago, the last boss fight ends in a countdown, which is normal for every Metroid game, except at the end of the countdown, rather than just flying away and being like, you've beaten the game, you beat the final boss. You get to your ship to fly away and it's not there. There's just a giant hole. And then the countdown's still going and then there's another final boss.
Yeah.
So you have to fight bosses in a row. There's no save in between them. So if you die on the last one, you got to do the second last one again.
Second
last one has three phases and is first phase and third phase very difficult. Second phase is easy. And then final boss, one pattern, but the thing is... because you have to have beaten the previous boss to get to this point.
It's
a nightmare.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I streamed Metroid Fusion for 4.5 hours and only beat, I think, two bosses in that time. And I think I lost a part of my soul.
That rules so much.
Yeah, and I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to go do it again.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Plug me back in, coach.
Yeah, plug me back in, baby.
So yeah, if you think Metroid Dread's hard, you're an idiot. Well, it is hard, but also shut up. So I've gone back to Deathloop as well, because I kind of got to a point in Deathloop where I haven't finished this solo campaign, even though it is not a super long or necessarily hard game.
Yeah.
But I kind of got to a point where I was like, not... losing interest is the wrong word, because I never had a point where I was like, I'm done with this game.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I just need to like put stuff together and then I should be pretty much at the end of the game. But then I realized that I kind of wasn't playing it properly. I was just like mindlessly going into levels, killing like the boss, grabbing this stuff, coming back and being like, all right, now which is the next boss to kill, rather than doing like the clever stuff, which the game does require you to do to finish it.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, okay, so this person's in this spot at this time, but you got to find out where they're going to be later, because at this time you've actually got to go here and do this other thing instead.
So it's kind of like an open... I didn't even know that. I thought it was more of a linear game, but it's kind of open world, is it?
So it's it's a weird situation, because there's four levels, like four locations, and there's four time periods. There's morning, noon, afternoon, evening. So every time you hit a time period... so you start the game, like after you beat the tutorial or whatever, it starts with you in the morning, you pick which one of the four places you want to go to, and it stays in that time period. So say the complex is one of the names of the places.
Sure.
So you go to the complex in the morning. It stays the morning until you leave the complex, and then it's like, all right, it's noon. Now which one of the four places do you want to go to?
Okay.
But those four places are structured like a level. Kind of similar to Hitman, I guess.
All
like
right, all right, I follow. Now you're speaking my language.
And yeah, so the goal is that there is people called visionaries. You've got to kill all the visionaries to break the loop. But the game encourages you to play differently. Like, you can just run and gun if you want. It just means that you might die. Or you can stealth it, which is also very suitable. But also you find, like, clues and you find out, like, you're like, you'll find, like, a note that's like, oh, this is the door code to get into the bottom level of this person's place. And you'll be like, oh, okay, cool. I can do that, set off an explosion that kills this people or set up a turret or something, which means they'll walk downstairs, just get shot. I don't need to worry about it.
Kind of like, what's that? What's the other Bethesda game? The Dishonored. Kind of like Dishonored.
Yeah.
Well,
for
it's
sure.
made by the same people as Dishonored.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
But yeah, now that I've started putting the clues together, I'm like sucked in big time again. But also, because, and this is probably going to be not an issue for new players, but it's going to make the game way harder than it was at launch. Because there is two game modes, which is Break the Loop, which is the story mode version where you're playing as Colt. There's also Protect the Loop, which is the multiplayer option where you play as Juliana, who is the antagonist of the game, and you jump into random people's games to kill Colt to protect him from breaking the loop.
Yeah.
But because the game's been out for like a couple of months now, anyone that's protecting the loop has clearly clocked the game.
And
therefore is a lot better at it than whoever is trying to break the loop.
That's very funny.
I see, I see.
And another thing I've noticed is because like when I was first doing that mode when the game first came out is people would just like rush towards roughly where you were and just try and battle it out. But now you'll find that because people have finished the game, maybe even multiple times, they'll be like, okay, so it's nighttime in Updam, which is another name of the place.
Yeah.
That means that the player is... That means the player is almost certainly going to be going to one of these two locations.
Yeah.
So they'll just set up a whole bunch of traps near, like, the place you need to go.
This game will become such a nightmare. Like, the more... The longer it's out, the more nightmarish it will become.
Like, like, you compared it to Hitman, and it feels like I've seen a lot of high-level Hitman gameplay, and it feels like, me competing against high-level, even me, like, as much as I play, I know that if I had to compete against some of those people, I would just never win.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the difference is, I guess Arkane Studios have thought about it, because Juliana has one life, where Colt has three.
Okay.
So if you kill her once, she's just gone. And you get a whole bunch of like powerful stuff from
that's
her.
For the level then?
Just for the level.
Okay.
So you can play through a day, like the four locations in a day and have to fight a Juliana every time. But
my God.
Your lives reset every time you leave a level. So you get three lives per moment of the day. You can also turn off online mode, so it becomes just single player only. And I would almost at this point recommend that for anyone coming to the game. Just at least until you kind of get a grasp of what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because, like, if you're really new to the game and you leave it on multiplayer, there'll be points where you're trying to figure out... Because there's parts where you just need to, like, be in a room and be like, all right,
to, like, take a breather, basically, or take a moment to be like, what's next?
But Juliana will be there, and she will have a shotgun, and she will end your life.
Far out.
But, yeah, I'm having a good time, and I'm kind of it's kind of a bummer it's on PS5 because it's hard for people to play because not a lot of people have PS5s yet. But it is on PC. I know that there was issues playing it on PC when it first dropped, but I'm assuming
they'll be fixed
patched
by
that
now.
Out now.
Oh, yeah. Really? The rare instance of works better on console than PC?
What was the problems? Do you know?
The PS5 version, has a thing where the loading screens don't have a fixed frame rate, so the PlayStation at first sounded like it was taking off because Then people were like, oh, okay, let's have a look at this on PC where we can turn on the frame rate,
Yeah,
and yeah, it was hitting like 900 frames per second because it's just a still image loading, and people were like, "Oh no!"
That reminds me funny. Of the I think original StarCraft, because people obviously StarCraft is still a very popular game. I think it's StarCraft. People found that because it was designed for such an older computer, they never really planned on computers that could handle like such high frame rates as computers nowadays.
Yeah.
So if you leave StarCraft on the main menu, it will eventually crash your computer because slowly StarCraft is like just edging over time, just being like, oh, I can have a few more frames per second. Oh, okay. Well, I'll do that then. A little bit more, and then it just eventually your computer is devoted to keeping the StarCraft menu or whatever open at 9,000 frames or something.
Yeah. So Deathloop's loading screens had that problem, but I think on PC, to be honest, I didn't look into it super closely because I have it on console.
Yeah.
But I think the PC people suspected it was anti-piracy software causing like a bit of delay lag and stuff like that. But then it turned out it wasn't that, it was something else.
Huh.
But yeah, anyway, I'm sure it's patched now. And yeah, if you don't want to pay full price for it, chuck it on like a watch list or something, because once it drops in price, it's absolutely going to be worth it.
For sure.
It's fun. It's like, if you're dedicated to it, it's probably like a 10 to 12 hour game. Like, we'll play one loop at a time kind of thing. So it's very easy to just be like, all right, I'll just play for like 45 minutes and then go do something else.
Sure.
Which is rare for a first-person shooter to
I'd appreciate that. That sounds good.
Deathloop 1 month on. I'm still having a good time and I should probably, get my act together and finish this game.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
How about I do something important for once in my goddamn life? Don't even think about it. I can see what your lips are trying to get out, Jackson. You're already on negative one.
Yeah, that's true. I am on negative one. That's so sad. And Adam's not even used his, which is so upsetting. He's saving it. Good. That's clever.
No, he's not. Well, before we go any further, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. That's right, they're back. The ads.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The ads. Incredible ads.
Yeah, great ads.
Really good
Jackson,
ads.
I also got an email from the ad saying, don't swear, it's bad for the ads.
That can't be right.
Think of the ads is what it's saying.
They were very, very specific. They said, Jackson's potty mouth needs to stop or we're pulling out our support.
Oh, no.
So now we're into the email section of the show, and you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. And I've noticed that people are more scared to send us emails because they don't know who we're going to have on the show, and therefore they don't know who to cater the questions for. The moment Joel Zammit left,
this thing went into fell to chaos.
Yeah, Zammit left, everybody's like, I only have Mass Effect questions, so I'm just not going to ask
Mass Effect
them anymore.
Joke. No one understands. Anyway.
So, I'll understand.
Look,
it.
Jackson and I will be here every week, and just take a punt. Who knows? It could be
Take
Adam, could be Levins, could be Alexi, could be any gamer on the network. Could be Hayden.
Any gamer you know, it could be. That's the rule.
It could be, who knows, Shigeru Miyamoto, he could pop by.
He could swing on by the place. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Doug Bowser could come by.
Could Doug Bowser could be Mario the actual plumber.
Yeah. Mario the guy.
Now, Mario the guy from the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is an email from, they sign off as Granty Boy.
All right, Granty Boy.
Hey, Joel, Jackson, and whatever guest is on the show this week, Adam.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm curious, when you guys are talking about a Metroid game, I thought about how Metroid Zero Mission has a completion bonus of unlocking the original Metroid. That's tight. So here's my question for all of you. What is your favorite bonus of finishing a campaign? Mine is Resident Evil 4, which my video game wife, you can't take her from me, Jackson.
Okay.
Jack was gonna.
I was thinking about it.
Anyway, when you beat the campaign, you get unlimited rocket launches, which makes it fun to blast through the whole game. So, your turn. What are your guys' favorite game bonuses for completing a game? Much love from America. Kisses, Granty Boy.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what is out there. You know what I mean?
What, unlocking Wolverine in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3?
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2?
Yeah, Spider-Man's a good one.
Yeah.
Unlocking Luigi mode in some of the platforming Mario games.
Yeah, I was gonna say being able to play as Luigi, and I don't know if it was necessarily like a you complete the game, you get to play as Luigi, or if it was like you complete X amount of the game or whatever. But yeah, being able to play as Luigi in Super Mario Odyssey is such a fun, like, oh my god, I can do, you know, try and get those Luigi stars now.
Yeah, the
and
Luigi box.
Yeah, and I'm slipperier and I, you know, jump higher or whatever. So yeah, I really like them. Any completion bonus that gives me a new playable character is what I'm here for. That's what I love. Yeah,
actually, Nier Automata for me, because that unlocks a new game plus, and then I've mentioned this a million times, but you finish the game, you're like, oh, there's a lot of loose ends here. That's weird. I guess I didn't explore this game properly. Then you're like, well, I don't know, maybe New Game Plus will be fun. And then the opening cutscene happens, and then you're like, wait, hang on a second, and you're playing as a totally different guy.
Yeah, that's great.
So then you have to redo parts of the game, like New Game Plus, but then there's huge chunks that are totally different. And then, and I haven't got this far, but I know that after you beat the game the second time, you're like, well, there's still so many loose ends.
Yeah.
What if I go New Game Plus a third time? Oh my god, I'm a totally different person that isn't involved in most of the story the first two times, so it's almost an entirely new story campaign.
Yeah.
Crazy. I reckon there's a few, like, Hitman items that I really appreciate having. Like, Hitman has his classic silver bowler silenced pistol or whatever, which is this really powerful silenced pistol. But for some reason, high-level players who have completed a lot of challenges in Hitman get an unsilenced version, which is not more powerful. It's just that pistol,
so
but not silenced. And it is very funny.
That's... I like a joke end, like a joke one as well, where they're like, hey, now you get this... not terribly useful thing, but still fun to use or whatever.
There is, functionally speaking, though, there is a sniper rifle that's silenced and pierces walls, which I really... It makes a lot of things kind of trivial in that game. But,
There's, like, I mean, speaking of games that have, like, a trivial ending or, like, an unlock, the biggest cop that I've had when... Yeah, see, there's a word I almost used there, but Jackson, I remembered what podcast I was on.
Yeah, that's
Joel
fair. All right.
Jackson Bailey, Potty Mouth. Joel Dusha, Sink Mouth.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
I know. I'm thinking about all the ads every time I talk. I'm like, what would the ads want me to do? When I finished Metroid Dread, which I spoke about heaps just before I was being a hard game, the first thing you see after the credits roll is hard mode unlocked. And
that's
rude. It's a rude thing
that's great.
To do.
To be honest, I'm not like a huge fan of a New Game Plus, which I think just comes down to the way I play video games. I'm like, why would I go back? Finally got out of here. I don't want to get dragged back.
Yeah, New Game Plus isn't a huge thing for me either, unless, like I said, like Nier Automata, which is actually a different game. Or really, it's not a different game, it's part two.
Yeah, I think, it needs to either drastically change gameplay to the point where it might as well be like a... Because I don't want to just play the game again, but I'm stronger now. That's boring.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to just play the game again, but I have a new weapon or whatever.
What about a combination of that and the new character thing? So one I was also going to say is Risk of Rain 1 and 2 both have things where you can unlock a new character. And beyond being just a new skin, the new character kind of, a lot of them play completely differently.
I love that. That's great.
And I guess that kind of also ties into the Nier Automata? Automata? Yeah. Whatever it is.
Automata.
You had to think about it yourself, did you?
Well, it's been a thing since I reviewed this game.
A sticking point.
Okay. I didn't realize I was stepping into something.
No. Yeah, so basically, I reviewed this game, I reckon, in the first year of Thumb Cramps.
Yeah.
Maybe the first couple of months of Thumb Cramps. And yeah, I messed up the pronunciation and got yelled at a lot. But because I can't remember what... I get yelled at every time. I can't remember if it's... Automata makes sense, because it's close to a real word.
I've always heard Nier Automata. And you said Nier Automata. Automata. So I was like, maybe it's Automata. Maybe I've
But also, I don't know. Yeah. I could be wrong as well. Because you've said Automata in the past when you're talking about it, and no one's given you grief. Look, we'll find out after this episode.
Andrew
Levins, let me know. It's Automata. It would have to be, because that's the... But I
that's
keep
like
forgetting.
Automaton, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Or do you say Automaton? I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, basically any unlock that gives me a new, like, pretty much like a new aspect of the game is good.
Yeah, like more don't to just do, give me, basically.
Sure. Don't just give me a second sword or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Or a new outfit. Who cares? That's the worst.
Yeah. What if it's a really horny outfit?
That's great. If it's like, now John Marston's got his dick out, that's awesome.
Because video games do that sometimes. Yeah. They're like, well, congratulations, here's a real skimpy outfit.
Here's that's
big
true.
Dick mode. You've heard of big head mode? Here's big dick mode.
I think one of the worst ones, and I always hate this, is in a lot of the Pokemon games, when you beat the game, you get like a national dex, and they're like, now Pokemon from other regions are going to appear in the game. But at that point, I've completed the game, so the only point to catching them would be like to maybe mop up if there's like a battle tower or something to use them there. But you kind of can't use them with the story anymore. And often, I don't know, to me, I'm always like, well, then what's the point? Oh, great, I can get an Eevee and then I'll have an Eevee. But I'm not like going to get that chance to, you know, like actually play Pokemon with it. It always seems so useless to me.
Yeah, Pokemon gets really boring after you finish the main story. Yeah.
One day I'll find out that feeling.
One day you'll 200... beat Brock or something. Yeah.
Well, my party at this time around is a level like 13 Charmander and a level 4 Mankey, so I believe in myself.
Mankey might do well, but I guess the Charmander is not. It's a bit of an uphill battle with Brock on that
and
one.
It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, it should be fine. I'll get that Mankey to like level 15 and we'll be all good. We'll
just
be all golden and then we'll roll into...
fighting. Move. You should be all right.
Yeah, low kick. That's the first one it learns. And then it learns karate chop. I've done this tango a million times before.
What game are you playing that you've got a Mankey?
Fire Red.
Huh. Where does Mankey show up?
Route 22. See, I've played the start of this game so much I can't tell you. In fact, I'm pretty sure it learns low kick at level 7 and then karate chop at level 10.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So yeah, Route 22 is, you know, the second city, Viridian City. Where the elite, if you walk towards where the Elite Four are.
Yeah, I know what
you
mean.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You,
sure,
you have a rival battle that only shows up if you haven't already beaten Brock.
Yeah.
I do remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, there's Mankeys
there.
Incredible. And Spearers.
That rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, last email. Jackson, this one is mostly for you. Zach has emailed and said, "Hi, Thumbos. Last week, Jackson mentioned a game he couldn't find the name of where he plays Mario and plumbs some anime women's pipes.
Yes.
I found this while I was scrolling through Steam Store, and I think it may be what he's looking for, and it's called Fake Hostel, which is funny because
that's
also the name of a porno company.
Oh. Oh, no.
Fake Hostel.
That is, that's the game. It just came up on Steam, and I was like, what am I looking at? And is it highly reviewed, or am I wrong?
Looking at it now, it is...
Jackson.
Yeah.
It's $7.50, so I think you should just get it.
I think you're right.
It's so cheap.
I'd be crazy not to play
Jackson,
Fake Hostel. Yeah.
Jackson, it's good to play a porno game.
I know, dude. Seven. Oh, and dude, for an extra $1.50, I could get the soundtrack. If I so desire.
Oh my god, 10 animated scenes?
Yeah, it's mostly positive. Fae Castell is a classic pipe puzzle game with lots of fun scenes and pleasing artwork. You play as Pedro the plumber. Since your house attracts a lot of attention from young girls, you decided to rent it out to them. Your task is to take good care of the girls. It's developed by Romantic Room. Okay.
There's a screenshot of 4 anime girls, all of them looking angry.
Yeah.
But Pedro standing in the middle, and it just says, Pedro, in a speech bubble, so it is from Pedro, says, Pedro is excellent for this job.
Wow. I know it's mostly positive reviews, but some of the negative reviews are pretty f***.
No! I get 2! I get 2 now!
No, you got none.
You don't get 2. You get none now.
I'm glad you used yours. I'm glad. Idiot. I'm glad.
Anyway, some of the reviews are quite funny. Couldn't even bust a nut.
That's even 18 plus anime titties and Beva have been disabled. I assume Beva is Beaver.
Could we get AME and Hacha? Hachama?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, no, we have Ayami and Hachama at home. Aya and Hachama at home.
Pedro Hot is one of the positive ones.
You'll only like this game if you have a toilet brush fetish.
That's great.
I think you should definitely play it.
I like awful. The pipes game itself is fine, but everything surrounding it is unpleasant. The story is as it follows. A young man runs a hotel dealing with renters. He is deeply unlikable. I'm in. I'll play it. I'll review it. It is my duty to play all the porno games ever made.
The girls look pretty, but the music won't stop. Ruins the mood. Shake my head. Shake my head.
Beautiful. Incredible.
I hope, even though you don't stream this, I hope somehow you get struck off Twitch for it.
Yeah, even though I don't ever play it, they're just like, we know he has in the past.
So I just want to double check something, because there's a alarming review that may make you not want to play it, and I just want to double check.
Okay.
Is there something untoward with Fae Castell? No.
if you're caught, they've misspelled the word, so.
If you're a coprophile, you will enjoy this, I guess. Is this a game about shit?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if I want to play this game anymore.
Jackson, it's $7.50. You have to play it. Play the horny Mario game. Pedro the plumber.
Play the horny Mario game.
Unless they're just saying that because, I mean,
he's
fixing
a plumber.
The pipes. The girls are like, I just took a shit and my shit won't flush.
Well, I get it now.
It, they do get covered in it a few times, it appears. Yeah.
I'm purchasing it for myself. I'm doing it.
Make sure you
it's
get the
18 now.
Plus DLC.
I don't know how.
You know, you're like this guy that's like, they removed the bevel.
I think you need to go to their website. Is that right?
Something
with Steam or something like that, because they won't sell you outright porn games or something like that. So you buy the game and then you go to their website and you get the DLC or whatever.
Let's find out together real quickly. Fae Castell is the name of a porno place, though, so I'm just going to get actual porno.
Go Fae Castell, but it's the game that is about shit. Just type
Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. I can get it. Okay. I just needed to change my preferences to allow for adult video games, which apparently I didn't already have.
That's funny.
All right. I'm purchasing Fae Castell now. Get ready for a sad review in the future where I'm like, this game was disgusting and offensive.
I've always thought it would be really funny. You know those games that you get while you're browsing adult sites that are like, try not to come or stuff like that. I thought those would be really funny to review.
Adam, the amount
of
times...
I could not come.
Yeah. The amount of times that if you play this game, you will come in 20 seconds has come up on thumb cramps. I reckon once every 4 episodes.
That's
so it's
fair.
I know a guy, there's like an article I read where someone was like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it brings you to 99% of the time. Good old-fashioned Raid Shadow Legends, baby. A lot of those ads are secretly ads for Raid Shadow Legends. Yep.
Yeah, because I think it was a Vice article or something where they got like a burner phone because they were like, I know that this is not going to do good things to me.
Mm.
They got a burner phone, I think a prepaid credit card, just so they were like, none of my details can get stopped. Nothing can really go wrong.
There you go. All right, I'm downloading Fake Hostel as we talk.
How many megabytes?
Not happy about it.
40?
It's 777.
Whoa! That's way bigger than I expected. Yeah.
Jack, after this, you'll want to try Castle in the Clouds DX, or that might be some sort of emoticon. I feel like my what do you call it? My algorithm has been messed up from looking that up. Castle in the Clouds definitely looks like another porn.
Oh my god, it is.
Oh yeah, Jackson, the moment you play this as well, your algorithm is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it's going to be all messed up.
No, this game actually looks fun. Castle in the Clouds looks fun. Looks like a little Metroidvania.
I guarantee you it will not be fun. But hang on. Please give it a shot.
Hang on. Maybe I'll get Castle in the Clouds. Maybe next week can be an all porno
edition.
No, why
do you get Castle in the Clouds but I have to play Fake Hostel? That's not fair. You get the fun-looking one. I get the goddamn creepy pervert one. God damn
it. Whoa. I mean, the first image of Castle in the Clouds is...
Yep. Yep.
The art style is horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is labeled a hentai game, so...
Maybe we just pivot to doing this, dude.
Yeah. Maybe next week we just all review porno games on Steam.
You're so close to it already.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway, today's episode... Well, I reckon I blame Adam for this because he said two erect thumbs.
Yeah, that's true. He horned it up.
I did start this. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Maybe next
right.
week it'd be boner cramps.
Yeah.
Oh.
That sounds good. Welcome to boner cramps,
boy. You been playing any horny games recently?
Yeah.
I give it one boner out of one. The amount of boners most people have.
Oh, and then on the... So two of you have to do a porn game, and then one of you has to do Railroads Online.
Hey, Adam, want to come back next week and play Railroads Online?
Yeah.
Can't say that I do, but yes.
All right. That's so funny. I've spent $7, just spending 25 or 17. Adam's dropping $50 for Railroads Online.
Yeah, 100%. That's going to happen.
Well, today's episode's been... I forgot to give Deathloop a thumb score. 5 thumbs to Deathloop, 5 thumbs to Metroid Fusion, 5 thumbs to Metroid Dread. Metroid Dread's still my game of the year. I love Metroid Fusion, and I love Deathloop too. Thank you, and God bless. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Adam.
And Adam, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me on... I do a podcast with... Well, actually, they're also named Jackson, but I do a podcast with a Jackson, and you were saying there's a Zamet that sometimes...
Sometimes.
Yeah, I do it with Zamet, and then someone who... We've not mentioned them, but I think
they've
you have someone
show, yeah.
sometime with a similar name, Cass.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
What type of podcast is that?
It's a D&D podcast. It's a D&D is for Nerds podcast. Okay. You know that genre? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little podcast called D&D is for Nerds. You can also find me at Retro Archetype on most social medias and Twitch, where I'm doing Skyrim challenge run.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yes.
And Jackson, I'll see you in the horny pages next week.
Yeah, I'll see you in the horny pages, baby. I'm so jealous you got the good game. I'm fuming.
That's all the time. This makes up for all the times you swore. If you didn't swear, then maybe I'll be playing the bad game.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.